We have to give people truth, but we have to do it in love. And if we can't do both, then we need to keep our mouth shut.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of In the Thick of It. Before we get into the thick of it, I just wanted to give a little pre-warning. My microphone had some issues this episode. I'm a little distant. You can hear me, but I'm a little distant for a majority of the episode. But please do not let that distract you from the amazing content. We tell some amazing stories. We have an awesome, serious discussion. And it only gets better the longer you listen. And it might be an hour and 10 minutes, but I encourage you to listen to all of it. It's the best one we've done yet. So without further ado, let's get in the thick of it.
What is up, guys? My name is Ethan Shuffelbarger.
Ellis Coffee here.
Kevin Anglin.
And George Wall.
And let's get in the thick of it.
Well, we made it. We made it to, we're 6 feet apart, would you say?
Absolutely not. We are in the pod zone of, what, Jesus and stuff. It's definitely not 6 feet apart, but you know what? It's the 30th, so can't we break this now?
Well, we are joined today by two extra special guests, two men of Christ, and some are newer men than others. No, I'm kidding. But we are very excited today to be joined by two pastors at our church, Kevin Anglin and Ellis Coffee. So, guys, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here. Good to be with you guys.
Listen, big fan.
I'm in shock right now that I'm just here in the presence of, in the thick of it.
Okay, so our first 5-star review, or not first, our only, comes from War Wardrobe. Kevin, would you like to read it for us?
Sure, I'm great at reading out loud. Fun, entertaining, and insightful. A glimpse into the realities of today's college experience. You start just assumed and entertained, and before you know it, you've walked away encouraged and challenged to keep living for Jesus in your own life. George and Ethan are a favorite listen.
Wow, that's
too kind.
That was strong.
How's that make you guys feel?
Jealous. I'm jealous right now.
I guess they've not heard of Jesus and stuff.
Jesus stuff, pod. One of the things I wanted to say was, well, first of all, shout out to W Wardrobe. Appreciate you. I don't know who that is. No idea.
Well, you know what? Shout out to you. It's either way. Yeah.
Huge shout out.
I was thinking about the first time me and Ellis met. Do you remember the first time we met? Back to school retreat.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that. For sure. I was your camp leader.
Oh yeah. Do you remember how like our first interaction?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure I remember.
Okay, so it started off, I don't remember this part too well, but I think you came into the room, it was raining, right? And you just walked in, you're like, what's up guys, I'm a hippie, or something like that. I can't remember exactly what you said. But no, we were both on the top bunk in Laguna, and I'm just chilling there, you know, and we're on the bunks that are together. And all of a sudden, I feel an arm and a leg come over me. He's like, we're buddies now. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, I don't know you, bro. And, you know, that was a pretty awesome start to our relationship. I don't even know if that's, you know, needs to be said anywhere online. But
here we are.
I felt the need.
No, it's going to be online. What?
That was pre-V2 movement.
Question. You guys were in socks.
Oh, we were definitely in socks right then. I'm glad we were.
It's cool.
Yeah. Was this Baptist Core Treat 16?
Dude, I have no idea.
15?
It had to be 16. 15 or 16. I don't know, dude.
Or 16, you're still going to jail.
I remember. I think okay.
I've never forgotten that since it. I was like, man.
I want to think
it's almost like it scarred your mind.
I'm glad that's your lasting memory.
Oh yeah, hey, you made a strong first impression. I had to talk about it.
On the strong.
That definitely reminded me of my first interaction with Ellis. I remember it was my freshman year. It was homecoming. This must have been after Baptist School Retreat. So you went to Baptist School Retreat. Maybe I didn't interact with you there. Maybe I didn't think you were cool. I don't know. But,
he had long hair. He was a hippie. Oh, he was
you
cool.
Did have one that.
I wore a bandana like Duck Dynasty back there.
But we were up in the youth room for the homecoming. We had like the after party here for the freshman class. And I just saw Ellis and Ellie. I didn't know who they were sitting up in the top of the top of the stairs. I guess they've been remodeled, but still the stairs are still there in the back of the youth room. And I'm like, who's that? And it was Ellis and Elliot. And I was like, what are their names? It's like Ellis and Elliot. I was like,
so cute.
Wow. That's fitting. I was like, which one's Ellis and which one? And now I'm getting
Instinctively answer to Elliot every time.
Yeah.
Somebody calls me Elliot. It's like you go to a new place and you introduce your names and they're like, oh, Elliot, hey, come here, Elliot. And I just automatically go because I know they're talking to me and I'm talking to Elliot.
Awesome. Oh, man, yeah. And then that whole – it seems like, especially from when the UTUMP coming back to our church here, I remember we were sitting in the – it was in February when you had your – or they announced it. At least they announced that you were coming back. And I just got like major like memory rushes coming back. I was like – whoa, that was, and it was only a year because you left after our the summer before our sophomore year. So that summer before 20, I guess it was the end of 2016 or 2016. And it seems like that year was like 3 years. I don't know because I feel like we have so many memories like that happened in that year.
That was a good year.
Ethan, you had to – that was one – I haven't heard that story of the foot in bed, foot on stomach.
It wasn't
with sock, right? With sock. But
we are putting way too much.
Yeah, this foot is going more and more north.
Get it off.
Eventually, it's foot and mouth.
Oh my gosh.
You mentioned you had some stories you wanted to bring up.
Oh gosh. I remember. Do you remember me, Jance, and Chandler's first little hoorah up here?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I told this one one time, but I like this one. I think I was in sixth or seventh grade, and we were doing like just a Bible study. Me, you, Chandler, and Jance Womack. We would all meet like every week, once a week or whatever. And I remember the first time, I was very shy, but I was looking forward to it. I had Chandler and Jance, and we came up here, and there were still tables up in the youth room. We sat down. I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. You know, we just got into Zaxby's, I think. And we sit down, and you look at us, and you're like, all right, guys, I just want to – I think we should get to know each other better. So I think it would be best if we all took our shirts off and then just stared at us.
That's right.
Just blankly stared. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
That's what they teach you in seminary.
But, dude,
that's rule one of seminary.
Rule one.
If you don't know that, you ain't graduating.
Community building. Let's get comfortable.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But we didn't.
Like, no, we didn't. We did not. We all sat there for like 3 seconds.
Wait.
What is going on? He was like, actually, no. I was like, oh my gosh.
Start the way
dude.
You finish. Awkward.
Dude, it was. That's
I felt that.
This is what's been really cool watching you guys like grow up. Because, George, when did you start coming to Central? What grade
it was
were you in?
And it was summer before my seventh grade year. So it would have been middle 2014?
Yeah.
I've
literally got to watch you guys grow up, and now I'm sitting across from you here. You just completed your freshman year. Are you done with your freshman year?
I'm this week.
Yes, as of yesterday, yeah.
Okay, you've completed your freshman year, or almost completed your freshman year of college. Ethan has a full beard. George can't.
I just shaved, so.
Okay,
no.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
No, I can't.
You can grow a really good mustache.
I'm not going to try.
You should grow the stash.
But I've got to watch you guys grow up, and so really – listening to you on the podcast has been so like therapeutic for me because I get to hear what God's doing in your life each week, or you know, sometimes you skip a month, but that's okay. but I get to hear what God's doing and how faithful you've been. And not to say that you guys have been perfect at college. None of us have been perfect, but to hear that God continues to work in your life has been such a blessing to me. So I'm thankful that you guys are doing In the Thick of It, because it's a way for me to keep up with what God's doing in you and through you and just to laugh along with you.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been awesome because you guys were babies when y'all came here. Your heads were too big for your bodies. You were awkward.
Still,
and now your head's the right size for your body and you're still awkward.
Wow. That means a lot, especially because, like, you know, I mean, I know, at least for me, and I'm sure for Ethan too, but it's true for me, like my walk with Christ began to grow, and like I'd say like 95% of my growth and my sanctification process has happened in this building. And
yeah, it's crazy.
Through you and through, you know, Pastor Brian. I mean, Ellis, you were part of that too. I mean, you were a whackhead college kid, but it doesn't matter. You're so part of that. And now you're here. And I don't know. And it's amazing to see, like, especially when you, like, that Sunday, like, they announced you coming back. I was like, wow, like, it's like full circle, you know what I mean? Like, circle of life. I don't know, circle of life, probably not, but.
You know, it felt great to be back, for real. Like, all those feelings that you described, just ramp those up times 10, because this was, like, mine and Elliot's dream job was to be back here with the staff at Central and to serve Central. And so it was insane excitement when we got the phone call and we got to come here and, wow. and be with them. It was just unreal. It's still surreal sometimes. It's like we drive by, like coming from town, going out to the barn where we live.
So on the Sunday, they were going to announce that Ellis was the guy that we were normally, because the way our church normally functions is we have a search committee and our pastors talk to folks. And then by the time we actually bring somebody before the church, they've been vetted heavily. Mm. And so it's not a done deal because the church has to vote because we're congregational, but it's close, you know. When we announced Ellis's name that Sunday morning, like I knew, the staff knew, and a couple other folks on the search committee knew, but none of the students who sit behind me on Sunday mornings, none of them knew. And so we didn't say anything. And so I'm just sitting there waiting. And as soon as they say his name, I hear this polite excitement behind me, you know,
nobody gave me the memo. I was chilling in Valdosta.
It was easy.
Dude, the church I go to down there also was getting a new children's pastor. I thought it was like a joke or like
there's
a dream or something. I was like,
there's no way there's a better children's pastor than the one at Central.
I didn't say that. I was just like,
I don't know.
Word on the street.
But yeah, so y'all spawned off and y'all have gotten the Jesus stuff pod going and y'all are four episodes in, if you include Ground Zero.
Yeah.
How's that been going? I mean, because y'all have been on it. Yeah, this is week five. Next week's week six, I guess.
Yeah.
How's that been going?
It's been amazing. I've so enjoyed being able to spend time with Kevin and talk about the great things of life.
It has been fun. I mean, I've been a fan of podcasts for a long time. I listen to them all the time. Like, I walk around here with one earbud in, listening to podcasts all the time. And so I thought about wanting to do one. And then when Ellis came on staff, and we were just hanging out, riffing, and I was like, you know what? This mic could work. And so I actually said, hey, I'm going to grab a couple of microphones. Actually, it was one microphone that first time. We were sitting around one Yeti, and we went to the prayer room, and I set that thing up on the glass table in the middle. I said, let's just riff, you know? And we did, and I was like, this feels really good. And so after that, we're like, let's just go for it, because we're in a time where the best way to communicate to folks is digitally, and podcast is a fun way to do that. Yeah. And so it's been really fun. Yeah. We've been learning a lot. I mean, I'm doing the audio mixing, and I'm terrible at it, and we don't have nearly the setup or the editing that you guys have.
I don't know about that.
but we've been learning a lot. You know, even the life advice section is something that we just started doing the past couple of episodes, and it's been fun. But it really has been a blast just hanging out with Ellis and just riffing about fun stuff, but also really serious stuff that God's doing in our lives.
Jesus and stuff. Yeah.
After the title, we're talk about Jesus, and we talk about stuff.
Yes, also stuff.
We talk about fun stuff, but we also get serious and talk about some serious things, like in our last episode about creativity and excellence in the Christian life and what that looks like.
Yeah, okay. So I got a quote from that from, I think it was Kevin. And okay, so talking about it was interesting to have those, think about those two topics together, creativity and excellence. But one of the quotes that was just like jaw punch, Christ did not go halfway in his saving of sinners. Like talking about doing all things for excellence. Yeah. And I was like, wow, you know, like he didn't just die, like he rose, you know. Okay, anyways, that was a space slap. But yeah, guys, definitely go check out Jesus and Stuff Pod. We plugged it last time, but ultra plug this time. If you want to talk about Jesus and you also like stuff, they're the guys you want to listen to. Especially people who actually know a little bit about theology relative to a couple college kids that like to ramble about their lives. But
now you say that, but you guys have done a great job handling topics. I've been really thankful for y'all's insight just to hear from your perspective.
We don't want to mishandle scripture. Mm. So it's kind of weighty.
It's definitely one of the we're sitting there oh gosh, we want to just say over and over we're not perfect pastors or anything. Yeah. But
consult your local pastor.
we definitely have a lot of takes, but no, I think for me, I always think about when I think about the podcast, the goal of it. I think about for me, I think about Davis Hall back when I was a sixth grader in the youth group. Be kind of the model that he was for me. Because, I mean, I will admit, Davis Hall was one of the big reasons that I was at the church. Not I was like, oh, Davis Hall. I wasn't
you're a Davis Hall fanboy. Don't
you? Oh, yeah. Fanboy for sure.
No. He's got a poster on his wall in his room.
No, but it's nice to have this platform. Because especially moving off, I mean, there's a lot of people here that I really miss being able to pour into. And I mean, through this, it's been good to, I know, keep in touch with people. Like you were saying, that's one of the goals, is definitely to let people know what's going on. But also, hopefully, if anybody listens, I mean, maybe younger than us, they can get a little bit of what's been going on in our lives and, you know, get ahead, baby. I don't know.
Well, on your last episode, you guys shared some of the metrics, you know, a slight flex as to, like, download counts and listeners and things like that. But it's interesting because podcasting is a one-way communication. Like, so you guys are talking to each other, but the people listening, they're not able to really communicate back immediately. Has it created any weird scenarios where people who listen come up to you and say, oh, man, I loved when you talked about this or whatever, you know, like they're just listening in on your conversation together, but they're coming up and talking to you about this stuff as if they were there.
Dude, I love when someone comes to me like, I listen to your podcast, and then they'll be like, yeah, you know, episode 17, I'm like, I don't remember what I said, you know, honestly. I'm being honest with you.
Remind me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's also cool when they're like, hey, that was cool, but you could have done this better. And I'm like, you know what?
I could have. There's a lot of that, too. Man, especially the Jesus Stuff pod, like, y'all be talking some serious theology stuff in there. What are some, like, upcoming, you got any, like, prequel, like, some snippets, like, what, anything upcoming that we should be, like?
Yeah, so this past week we were kind of bouncing topics off of each other, and Ellis had the great idea of doing the excellence and creativity.
Yeah, that's a
and
good topic.
Yeah, it was fun to talk about, and I think it's something that we need to be challenged on, even as you mentioned earlier. But I think what we're going to do this coming week is we're going to talk about dealing with disappointment. Because I think in this time, especially during quarantine, a lot of things have been canceled. You know, I think about this senior class. I think about a lot of students. I even think about you guys. You probably had plans for the end of your first year in college, and all of that got canceled, snatched out from under you. Now, seniors, all of their graduation stuff has been completely changed. I'm sure there's a lot of disappointment out there.
Yeah.
And how do we deal with that? As Christians, how do we deal with unmet expectations? How do we deal with disappointment in our lives? And so we'll talk about that a little bit, kind of riff on it and see where it goes.
Yeah, for sure. And also talk about our Marvel Cinematic Universe Round 3 coming up.
Also talk about how wrong Ellis is about how he thinks Tony Stark can beat Batman. And I just don't think.
Really?
Have you ever watched Civil War? Because he he ripped off Winter Soldier's arm.
He almost killed Superman. You know who Superman is? He's like
because Superman let him win. It's like your little brother who lets you put him in the headlights every once in a while. You know?
That we won't get into that. That's the whole thing. What are you guys predicting for the outcomes on that thing? Who are you wanting to see go to the end?
Who do I want to see, or who am I predicting? Because
who do you want?
I'm gonna go with Black Panther as the ultimate winner because one, Black Panther is my favorite character. Mm. He is the most. He is like Captain America morals on steroids. Like, he is more moral than Captain America.
That's a bold statement because that's Captain America's whole character is that he's...
Exactly. He's like Captain America 2.0. And he has claws. So Captain America ain't got claws. And he cut his shield, so there's that. But I just really like the Black Panther movies. Well, the one movie that there is and his appearances in Civil War is one of my favorite scenes. I was telling Kevin about how... Just how scriptural it is, even though it's not really, like, they weren't aiming to be biblical. But when he's talking about vengeance, and he's not going to seek vengeance.
Hey, man. Okay, well, I think let's throw into some 10-second takes.
I've got the hottest take in history.
Okay.
Hottest 10-second take.
So,
Star Wars is basically Fast and Furious in space.
I haven't seen Fast and Furious, so I can't really say much about this.
So, like... Ethan, I don't know a lot about that Fast and Furious franchise, but I will say that Star Wars is about family, and so is Fast and Furious, so that's really what I got on that.
I haven't seen Fast and Furious, so.
Are y'all serious? Y'all have never
watched Fast and Furious? There's like 3 million Fast and Furious movies.
There are actually 9. And guess what? There are 9 Star Wars films as well. Okay. You've watched all of those, have you not?
You got me there, but... it's one I've been meaning to watch, but like I feel like that franchise has gone, you know, 12 past their limit.
If you like things blowing up, if you like outrageous cars and jumping cars from skyscraper to skyscraper.
I've seen that clip where he like just,
realistic.
Yeah.
It's the most unrealistic ever. They literally parachute cars out of planes. And land on the road.
How else do you think you're going to get him
it's
from
like
the sky
ultimate
to the
guy
ground?
Movie, it sounds like
it is the ultimate dude movie, and it
dude
is.
Flick.
It's you got to take it for what it's worth, right? Kind of like dude. The Rise of Skywalker.
Yep.
He's got to take it for what it's worth. It is a movie about blowing stuff up and having fun with cars and riding real fast. Hmm. It's kind of like NASCAR. You drive fast, you'll like this movie. So Star Wars is the same thing. They're going from space. They're riding real fast in their spaceships, mm-hmm. going from planet to planet, solving crimes.
The fastest in those spaceships.
No, it's just where the fun begins.
Is there no speed limit in space?
No, I mean, it's like the Autobahn.
There's no like wind resistance or anything.
Just,
we need a speed limit in space.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And so, I just want to say that if you like Star Wars, you'll like Fast and Furious because it's basically the same thing, except with not aliens.
All right, here's one I think that we can all have an opinion on. Okay, and you know I've watched The Office. Like The Office is at our house when we don't know what to watch, we just put on an episode of The Office. It doesn't matter. One thing I've noticed recently is something about just Michael Scott and an opinion. So my 10-second take is, what is your opinion on Michael Scott?
Michael Scott is the world's best boss. And he has proved that with all of it. Who would not want to work for Michael Scott? I mean, I wouldn't want to work for Michael Scott.
Michael Scott is the world's best boss. I think that's definitely a good case, especially when you get to the end, like the end of his tenure on the series. That ending, man, drives it home to me.
Michael Scott is just a guy with heavy insecurity issues, but he wants to be liked by everybody. And so most of his foibles are him trying to get people to like him, but really just ends up annoying them. But he has a heart of gold in the end.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You can see that he wanted to help those kids,
but like,
but he ends up being the worst guy half the time, dude. I have found myself hating that man throughout every. Like, I used to love him. He's hilarious, and he has some good moments. Not to say he doesn't have good moments. Like when he goes to Pam's art show, it's like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
But the other, you know, 85% of the time, he's just the absolute worst guy ever. I don't know. I felt like that was a hot take. As I've watched it, I've begun to, like, I can't stand half the characters now. There's only, like, two really likable ones, Kevin Dwight. And Jim. Dude. What?
Okay, so
JK.
The full breakdown on my take on Michael's character is that because he's so insecure, and we all have this, there's like a group of people you want to like you. Okay, but then there's a line of people you don't care about, and so you're willing to trash those below the line in order to look good in those above the line.
Toby.
And so he hates Toby. he really mistreats Dwight. He really mistweets. Got him. Mistreats Meredith
English
and some
is
of these
hard.
Other, like some of the lesser characters in order to like get like the Jims to like him, the Pams to like him. Yeah. He wants those people to think highly of him, and so he treats Dwight, who's like his most loyal friend, he treats him like trash to get Jim to actually like him. You know, that's kind of how I see him, but it's a very inconsistent character. Like throughout,
that's what makes him good there.
Yeah, he starts out super hateable, but you see throughout the course of the show that they try to make him more relatable and more like of a sympathetic character. Yeah. Like even he's sitting with Jim in one episode, and Jim had to be boss for a day, and he tried to make all of the birthdays on one day, and they're sitting down talking about it. And when Michael comes back, and he's like, "Oh, how did it go?" He's like, "Oh, it was pretty rough. I tried to put all the birthdays on one day." He's like, "Oh, I tried that when I was you know first starting out. It was just failed too." And he's like, "Yeah." And Jim says, "That's what she said," or something. And Michael's like, "I don't know why I say that stuff, just to kind of increase morale and lighten the tension." Like it seems like at times he actually.
Yeah.
Has some self-awareness, but
just throws it out the window.
Yeah. Then the other times he's trying to jump off the building into a bounce house to show people that they have a tough life. I don't know. It's inconsistent, but it's still the best show on television.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. So I have one from Ellis. This is a tough 10-second take, I think, to do in 10 seconds, but we're gonna try. What's your take on fatherhood?
It is amazing. Right now, I am just chasing him 100 miles an hour all the way. But fatherhood is the best when you're married.
I think we found the quote for the episode.
When you're married.
Well, I know because you've been in the thick of it for a little bit now.
We've been in the thick of it for 18 months.
18 months. I mean, that's
19 months
that's
now.
That's a sizable time.
Almost 20 months. Wow.
Wow.
Time flies. They grow up so fast.
When does the month stop? Like, when's the month?
Supposedly, they stop when he turns two. That's why I don't know them much.
Wait, I've never heard anybody say over 24.
If, well, I have.
Keep it going.
Really?
I've heard somebody be like, yeah, my kid's like 73 months.
That
I'm like, do the math, bro. That's 3 years old.
And that kid is still sucking on a pacifier.
Yes. Well, he's probably not sucking on a pacifier, but...
Kevin, have you been able to, from the outside, give any advice to Ellis on his fatherhood skills?
I can only share my failures. No, I don't know. He's not coming to me for parenting advice, really. Even kind of also answering your question, though, it is the most rewarding and most challenging thing, because just like marriage, having kids is just about dying to yourself. It's all about putting someone else ahead of yourself. And it's actually, as you see this with siblings, it's easier to trash those in your home than it is to trash those outside of your home. Mm-hmm. I even noticed this. This is weird. Me and my wife play Call of Duty at night together, okay? When we were just playing in a party chat together, okay, every time one of us would die, we'd blame the other. We'd scream at each other. It'd be crazy, you know? We've got very, you know, aggro, okay? But now we're playing with party chat open, and so we can, the other people can hear us and we can hear them and communicate. We don't fuss at each other anymore. You know? But it's much easier to trash those in your home. And the same way with your kids. So it's easy to be short and mean with them, but really you got to learn to die to yourself and put their needs above yourself. And when you see them, like my kids are 7 and 9 now, and I see how much they've learned and grown. And even sometimes, scarily, they reflect you, you know. Sometimes they can be like little mirrors, and you're like, I'm the only one to blame for that. Like, especially being a homeschool parent, like, we're the almost the only influences in their life. And so we just know, like, if they're messed up, that's on us, you know. But it's cool to watch them grow and learn. I mean, it's super rewarding.
I think that's such a great 21st century analogy, like the party chat. So, yeah, wow. That's goals.
Too. I don't think a lot of people listening can relate to that, probably. But me and my wife have been playing co-op games together for a long time.
I think more people relate to that than you think. Me and Ethan talked about this a couple of times. I'd like to hear from the Apple King himself, though, throughout the year. But what are your opinion? What's your opinion on AirPods?
AirPods are probably the best product Apple's put out in probably 7 years. They're super convenient. I mean, but they're like everything Apple. It's overpriced.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the brand.
Yeah, it really is the brand. It's not the audio quality, but, you know.
Yeah. Ellis, you got any?
I have a pair of AirPods, and I do not regret the decision.
You know, they get – I remember me and Ethan talking about this, and Ethan has some strong opinions on them.
If it wasn't for the price, I'd be all in for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, and you can always – you know, like, as with capitalism, you know, there's like the $20 pair you can get in line. Mm-hmm. But – I think I really, because I got a pair. I criticized them too, but then I got a pair. And I can't really criticize anymore because they really are a game changer.
Just pay up, man. If you want the quality of Apple products, you got to pay up.
Dude,
you don't eat groceries next week, but you're going to have some AirPods. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
You got, though, if, but for real, if you're going to get some headphones and you're going to spend, even now, you can get some for like $129 because you don't have to get the AirPod Pros. Unless you just want to flex on us like that. Oh, unless George, after he put his wallet on the table, he might can get some AirPod Pros. But the AirPods, man, they just work so well with your iPhone, and I just like how seamless it is. Like other Bluetooth headphones that I've had, like they don't connect well, they don't stay connected. Mm-hmm. AirPods, flip the case, put it in, boom, you're connected.
Yeah,
that's
I have like the knockoff, they're JLab J-Buds, and they're $50 and I got them, but the case is like that thick and so you can't really put it in your pocket naturally. That's the one thing that I like really envy about the AirPods. I might have to get one now. Everybody at this table has now told me and fully endorsed them.
Well, they are. It's really the convenience. I mean, you pay a little bit more like you do for everything Apple, but it's super convenient. And for me, I don't listen to a ton of music. I do listen to a ton of podcasts. And so what I do is I just put one in an ear and just listen to my podcast, and the other one's charging, so I never run out of charge because I can just swap them in and out.
That's
super convenient.
That is a knock on them. If you use both at one time, they die pretty quick.
Yeah.
All right, well, that throws us into the next segment, Music Minute. You guys, it's your minute. It's your music taste. Do you have any recommendations right now?
Man, do I have a music taste? Okay. Wait, yes, I have a music taste.
Well,
do I have a music?
Any specific song right now?
Do you have any taste?
Any specific song? Any specific? I got artists that I listen to.
All right, that's fine. Go ahead.
I don't really do, like, individual songs. Yeah. I like to listen to artists. So I'm going to throw out three.
All right, go ahead.
And these are three should be well known, especially after you listen to our podcast, No Big Deal.
He's good.
Is an essential rapper for the Christian hip-hop community. If you want to listen to solid hip-hop and solid theology and fun songs, he's got some fun ones too, No Big Deal. And then two that are more well-known are King's Kaleidoscope and Citizens. Those are by far the three people I listen to more than anything else. So I would recommend all three of those.
No Big Deal. Solid.
Especially No Big Deal. Especially King's Kaleidoscope's new album, Zeal. It's not new. It's like a year old now, but
it's new in the Christian.
I bang that thing for like I still bang that thing. It's amazing. And there's like three songs. It's like Breathing Infinity, and then there's like part one, part two, part three. They all flow together, and it's just amazing art, like from a musical standpoint. So I highly recommend
it. Wow, that's a good take right there. No Big Deal. He is underrated, I think. At least when I started listening to him, he was underrated. Maybe he's grown in popularity a little bit more. I think I've fallen
He's still a little underrated.
Is he still?
But, man, his stuff, man, all of his stuff is good. He doesn't put out anything that's bad. Like, everything is good. There's nothing, not a bad song he has.
I think the first song I heard was Treetops.
Treetops is, that's the intro to his first album.
Yeah, I think that's the first song I ever heard. I was like, wow, this is a banger.
He spits.
He can spit.
Yeah, he can spit. And so Solar is just as good. So he has that anime intro. And he has a lot of. I know Kevin likes anime. I don't really watch anime except for Dragon Ball Z sometimes.
Dragon Ball.
But he spits out some cool anime references. It makes me want to watch anime because he's so cool with it.
He's like, so cool with it.
So I can vouch.
So for no big deal, jump off a cliff. Like you'd be behind him.
Yeah.
Classic mom. Okay. Anyways, but Kevin, what about you, man? Music minute.
Yeah. So I'm. Like I said earlier, I don't listen to a ton of music. If I'm listening to something that's a podcast, I could give you podcast recommendations, but I'm not doing that. I've gotten to the point in life where I'm so old that I've stopped even trying to listen to new music. I mean, I keep up with new worship stuff and new Christian hip hop stuff just to kind of pass it off to students or whatever. But I've gotten to the point where I'm going back and re-listening to the old stuff I used to listen to.
What's hot right now for you?
What's hot? Well, I've been listening to, there's a band, I don't know if they're still a band, but they were when I was a teenager, called May, M-A-E, and their album Everglow is just really good to me. Like, I love that album, and they're a Christian band, but they write about some really weighty topics. Like even one of their songs is all about making mistakes, but God's still working through that stuff. But it's really good musically for me. I mean, I don't know if my music tastes are good or not. But really, you can't go wrong with the Shrek soundtrack. I can't say that. The Shrek soundtrack. Just go bang that all day. You know, it's just really good.
All Star will
always
be.
It was on TV last night. So
yeah, Shrek is a classic, and the soundtrack is great.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Oh, yes, masterpiece. But seriously, one thing that I did recommend on one of our earlier episodes is if you like hip-hop and you want to get into the word more, there's an app called Streetlights. Mm-hmm. It's also on iTunes or Apple Music and Spotify. You can pull up the entire albums. But what it is spoken word scripture. And so you can actually listen to scripture with, like, backing tracks, and it's all, like, rhythmic and
oh, wow.
It's really cool.
There's so like, some lights, people really that recognizable voices on there, isn't there?
Yeah. Who'd you say the guy that you're
– Yeah, Propaganda.
Yeah.
Propaganda. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Beautiful Eulogy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got some more.
All right. You guys talk a lot about Student Life Camp here on the show. Okay?
Yeah, we do.
And I wanted to just share my craziest student life memory with you guys. So I forget what year it was, but there are different levels of dorms at Covenant College, which is where we had always gone. So the lowest level is the Batcave.
Oh, yeah.
Or some would say the highest level, okay? but it's just this basement that's dank, and the moisture is strong, and the mold is stronger.
Just
right?
The right temperate climate.
They had created some newer dorms, and so they were like multi-story dorms, and they're nice.
Oh, yeah.
So the one year we were staying there, and I don't know how long it took into the week, but there became a feuding, okay? There was a feud
brewing between our floor, yes. which floor were we on?
I was like four,
two,
three.
Between
our floor and an adjacent floor. Oh, so man. There was another floor that was talking smack on our floor. And so I was just hearing this ambiently. Like mm-hmm. students were telling me, like, those guys are talking again. They're saying that we're trash and that they're the best. And I'm like, okay, that's funny. So no big deal. But then I start hearing, they're like, hey, there's a battle coming.
Oh, yeah.
As the youth pastor, there are certain privileges bestowed upon me. Mm. And one of them is not, during student life camp, not sleeping in the room with smelly teenagers, okay? And so I was in my room, and I'd heard all day stories about this war of brewing, okay? And I just kind of brushed it off as if, like, they're just students. They're being dumb. My kids are very they're very good kids. I trust them. And all of a sudden, and I'm laying there in bed, probably already asleep, and I get a knock on my door, and I answer. It's like, Mr. Kevin, or just Kevin, or whatever. we need you really quickly. And so I was like, what? What is it? So I go, and we go to the floor, the other floor, where the others live, okay? And it looks like a war, and it's nuts.
It was a war. It was a war. Full battle.
Well, I find out that it was starting. It was supposed to be a pillow fight.
Oh, yeah. Listen, our floor was agreeing to the terms of a clean, fair pillow fight. Good old-fashioned justice, okay? Good old-fashioned brawl of the pillows, okay? Like, I remember Jack Stapleton. He had this memory foam. Daggum, this thing was going to rock some kids, yeah. Okay? We gathered in the stairwells, you know, giving, like, inspirational speeches to each other. We're about to go,
brothers, today we go to war!
I mean, we were jazzed. We were ready. I mean, we were organized as a unit. We were ready to storm the gates of this floor, and I'm sure.
I come in after the war was over. Mm. Okay,
it was a great fight.
Bodies strewn along the ground, but really just like they had stacked furniture up against doors.
Against your door. Yes, it was.
And so before you think I'm the most neglectful student pastor among them all, none of my kids were seriously injured. All of our students can hold their own in a war. Oh, you know?
And since their students know how to fight.
They're vets, you know. But apparently one guy from the warring tribe, mm-hmm. the other floor, had decided to go prison rules. Mm. And so he put some soap in his pillowcase and started swinging on guys.
Literally bottles and bars of soap.
Hit his own teammate.
Friendly fire.
It's the worst fire.
The worst one.
So were there any... just for the record, were Central students, like, were we in any way... partaken in the soap inside of...
No, we didn't.
Was there any solid objects inside of pillowcases?
No, ironically, we fought clean, even though they were using soap. Okay?
Really?
That, they were the dirtiest fighters.
Like the samurai, they fought with honor. All right, so I go up there, and as we continue to walk on the battlefield and assess the situation, there is a guy laying out near his door, and this guy, after I talked to him for a second, his youth pastor... nowhere to be found. I don't know where his youth guy is.
Oh,
he gone.
Yeah.
But this guy is
lost to the war.
He's got a concussion. Like he's been concussed on the floor.
What time is this though?
It's late. I mean,
it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, it was like something like that because I remember being woken up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
I wasn't a part of it, Mom. In case you're listening,
I'm a good boy. I gotta be honest. I was a part, but I felt like I was doing something else when it was happening. I wasn't there for like the thick. Of it, but I was there for a long
time. The final push.
You weren't in the thick of it.
I think that was okay, though.
Give that 5-star. but yeah, and so this guy has a concussion. Then I learned there's another guy that has a concussion.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I really get to hear all of the stories about how the battle went. Like, from firsthand, you were there on the battlefield. How did things play out?
I mean, it was just – dude, these guys had, like, their pillows pushed to the end of their pillowcases, so they were like real weapons. They had them, dude. It was, I mean, if I remember correctly, we went to their floor, I think. I can't remember the exact, you know, mm-hmm. I can't remember.
I think
perfectly.
Y'all went to their floor.
And I just remember in the common area on the far end, it was like, if you know, your room on their floor, that's where it all took place. We like stormed down that hall, you know, probably waking up everybody, and we just started swinging. I know I retreated quickly because I was like, all right, you know, this is what this is going to be. This is going to be us hitting each other with pillows for a couple minutes.
I'm not a coward. It's a strategic retreat.
Exactly. But I mean, I was sitting there, I was like, all right, this was fun. And then like, I see, I think Jack Stubblin is like, I got hit with something hard. I was like, what?
He had a bruise on his back.
I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, somebody had more than a pillow in their case. And, like, I was like, okay. We all ended up, like, you know, we're fine. But I just remember looking in the dang hallway at this dude with a bucket in front of him, just looking like death. And everybody sitting there like they've seen horrible war crimes, just sitting there on the floor, just, like, absolutely distraught. It was – I mean, dude, that was a roller coaster of a fight.
And, and it wasn't just tension between you guys and the other group. It was tension between each other, too, because we had been pulling ranks on each other all since we've been there.
Dude,
I was so tired of trying to take a shower and getting a bottle of Mountain Dew poured on my head and chips and Cheetos. Like,
you also had the younger ones, yeah.
And so it was like, and me and AJ Hooper, I believe it was AJ Hooper who was involved in this. But it was such a dilemma of, like, do we partake in these activities and help our team, or do we let them do their own thing? And when I heard a kid got concussed, I was so glad that I did not partake. But I was standing on the other end of the hallway watching them. It was fun. And then I went and stacked. Well, we had to. Because they were coming in our room, pulling all our sheets off the bed.
You had it rough.
Taking our pillows.
I feel like you were getting hazed or something.
I felt like I was getting hazed. So we literally stacked all of our furniture on the door every night so that we didn't get things. And you had the Jack and Jill bathroom where you could just, like, come in.
Yeah.
That was an experience. I was like, is this what student life is like every year? Because, like, I am exhausted from, like.
That was the 1 year we stayed all the way down. That was, like, the farthest, the newest.
Yes.
Your calf muscles are, like, beast.
I don't remember who else was in my room, but I remember Cam.
Judson Ho, I think, was in your room.
Cam and Judson. Yeah. And they didn't want to really do any of that stuff. They wanted to be, because they were the younger guys. Like, they wanted to, like, be able to go to camp next year.
They wanted to live the tale.
The one thing I remember about the whole concussion situation, like, because there was, like, a couple of guys that got, there was at least one guy that got concussed.
There were two guys that seemed like they had concussions.
There were two, I think, that, okay. At least I remember there's two concussions.
I remember walking, being, I don't know how I was woken up, who was I staying with? I can't even remember. So I got woken, I walked outside of the room, and there's, like, four guys just sitting in our hallway, like, sitting up against the wall. And I think one of them's crying. The other one's telling
war. It does it to a man.
War never changes.
He's got PTSD after today.
These are not our students on our floor. Maybe I went up a floor. I don't remember. It was a wild night. But
walking through the trenches.
And one of them was just telling the horror story. This guy was throwing up. He's just like, but that's why we thought he had a concussion. Wow, what a time.
Dude, like, speaking of student life pranks and camp pranks, what is the best prank that you guys have seen pulled at camp? So the best I've seen was last year, my former church and Colton's church did a back-to-school retreat together. And the older boys from both churches grouped up because they were staying together. They grouped up and snuck down to the beach at night and took – probably four pillowcases full of crabs.
Oh, yeah. The classic.
Yeah, we've crabbed before.
And they crabbed their whole room.
Yeah.
And not only did they crab the room, about 20 minutes before they got back, they axe bombed them. They axe bombed and crabbed.
That's a classic combo. That's tried and true war
method. They were finding crabs in their room for like 3 days.
That's classic.
I do. If you're talking about pranks, okay.
Yeah.
There's been so many good ones. There's plenty of classics, but since we're talking about military victories, this is one of the, you know, most intelligent maneuvers we've ever pulled. And it was the Alliance. I was a middle school boy at the time, you know, one of the young grunts who would be on the front lines. Yep. And the high schoolers came to us with a proposition of getting the middle school girls. I mean, just prime targets, you know. Right. You'll get the best reactions out of them.
They're asking for it.
Oh, yeah. So they're at the Weavers, I think. They have a long driveway. We meet up there, you know. We all rally at the point.
This is D-Now.
Yes. And so the idea was this. The overused prank was forking. You go, you stab plastic forks in their yard. I mean, it was used the first year pranks really started, and that was, like, just the absolute best prank anybody ever seen. And then it was copied way too many times. So we're like, all right, we're going to make them think we're doing that, right? And the whole purpose is to plant a rumor that we're going to do it and the time we're going to do it. Okay, so we had a leader tell the other leader, hey, we are going to come prank you. It's like, oh, we're going to be ready. We're going to have water balloons. Like, okay. So we arrive there at the time, and we all have just one fork, and we're just stabbing into the ground. We're walking around real quiet, and we're the middle school boys. We're the bait. And so we get out there, and we're stabbing our forks. Little do they know that our high school boys have a bunch of water balloons sitting in the tree line, okay? So that the idea, and it worked perfectly. We're sitting there, and all of a sudden, through the front door, all these middle school girls come rushing at us with water balloons. They throw, and it just hits the ground. Like, they can't reach us or anything. We're like, this is perfect. So we make a retreat right back to the tree line. And these high school dudes just come out of nowhere, just pelting these middle school girls in the face with water balloons. I got to say, dude, it was probably – oh, it was one of the most beautiful – pranks ever.
That's
like I've ever well. Oh, it was
so like
perfect.
Art of War level stuff.
Oh yeah,
right,
it was beautiful. And then Chandler Wright toilet papered our house.
Hey, you remember back when we used to waste toilet paper?
Oh man. Blessed with abundance.
I have a prank as well. This is about a school retreat. Ethan, you're in on this one. Was this 16? I think it might have been 16. 16 was the year. So there's a now retired game called Bigger, Better, Best. And essentially, the rules of the game is simple. You start off with something that's small. What we start off with?
It's like a tube of chapstick.
So there's like, it looks like chapstick, but it's actually sunscreen, but super small.
It's like for your face or whatever. Deal.
And you start off with that, and you have an hour to run down the beach. You choose your direction, and you run down the beach, and you trade it up. So you ask someone, hey, can I like get a bottle of sunscreen for this? And you try to trade it up to the biggest, best thing you can get. And so, like, there's a couple criteria. It's, like, biggest and it's best. So, like, you know, it kind of weigh those in the end and you see who wins. So we've had – this year, I've never – this is incredible. Like, I don't know how this happened. I'm guessing someone had too much to drink. I don't know. But Jance's group, the green team, I think it was, it had to be Jance's group, went down the one way, and they didn't get back for 15 minutes past time. But it was worth it. They came back with a grill.
A gas grill.
Not just a gas grill. And
drag this thing like a mile down the beach, just in the sand. This giant
impressive.
gas grill.
And like at that point, like I guess the youth pastor in you is just like, this probably isn't the best idea, but like I guess we can't take it back now. Like, you know, so bring it up.
We now have a gas grill.
We now have a gas grill.
I think it's broken. We have it.
Yeah.
Ours. We can't just leave it on the beach.
And so we bring it up, and that's the second day, is it not? That's the second day.
Whatever day the beach.
Yeah,
goes
the beach day is the second day. I think I don't really. I know it doesn't matter. Anyways. So that grill sits there throughout the day. If it's the first day, it sits there the first night. And the boys get to talking, and like we have to pull off some kind of prank. We came up with a plan, and it almost got foiled, but we kind of adapted on the spot. So essentially what happened was we were going to take the grill, and we were going to zip tie it to the girl's door because the door is opened in. And so if the grill is zip tied on the outside, it's wider than the door frame. And the zip ties are tight enough, they can't open the door. And it actually was a smart idea, and it worked. The girls wanted to prank with us, and so we took the grill to, like, the site next to us and tied it under someone else's door and came back and went to sleep, air quotations. And then the girls went back in their room. They went away 30 minutes. We went out. We unzip tied the grill from the other people's door that we had met. And we moved it. It's like five of us. We moved it to the girls' room, and the girls were located in a – there's a walkway beneath their building, and their door was on the inside of the walkway. Mm-hmm. And so we put the grill there, and we zip tied it tight, and it was a good idea. It worked. We one oversight was there was a window they could get out of. We were trying to like trap them in there because, you know, boys rule. But anyways, so we were like, what else can we do? And so it's a walkway, right? It goes through a building pretty much. And there's some lawn chairs, some pool chairs. And so they're like, let's just fill up the whole thing with the whole walkway with pool chairs so they definitely can't get out. And so we filled up the whole, like, double stack pool chairs. I feel like that was my favorite prank. They didn't realize it until they woke up, and they had a – it took them a considerable amount of time, I think, to get out. Yeah. But that was probably my favorite prank.
It was a
prank.
Solid one.
Yeah. In honor of Elliot's memory, since he's not here, she's still alive, but – I feel like I need to tell this prank that she had pulled on her. One of the leaders knew where the spare key was in her parents' house.
Oh my gosh.
And went and they flipped every piece of furniture over upside down.
Wow.
Picture frames, couches. I think they actually walked in on them doing it. and they were like toting mattresses down the stairs.
Oh my god!
And I'm pretty sure she told me that a dead squirrel got put in somebody's car, hid in somebody's car. So
that's a classic.
Yeah, some of my favorite pranks that we pulled on our youth pastor, because he lived right next to our church, our youth pastor did, and so we were over there a lot, and like we knew how to break into it, and so there was like a back window area that you could make it happen. Okay, so we broke into his house one day when he was gone, and we unscrewed every light bulb in his house and we put them in his dryer, and so he just comes home and none of his lights work, and then he finds that they're in the dryer. But this is how lazy he was, is that he didn't replace them. He just took one light bulb from room to room for a while. And just like, oh, if you need light in there, just plug that light bulb into that room, you know, just move it around. Oh. And we're going to talk about that time George pranked the toilet in his room.
Oh, yes.
He pranked it so good.
Chandler. That was a year. That was 2016, man. That was a year.
Oh,
you
man.
Pranked your own toilet?
All right, guys. So it had been a rough weekend. A lot of things have been going on. And on top of that, I had been sick before I went. Like I had sinus problems. And so, you know, shout out to the Stinchcombe. Shout out to After Hours Care Americas. They put me on some meds. And this was the time they figured out to never prescribe me those meds again. And I can't remember what it was. It was probably like crack cocaine. I don't know. But I took it, and when I was okay the first couple of days, but it was midweek, like mid-dosage, I was at Baptist Country. And it was like first day. I don't remember which day it was. I think it was the first day. And I was like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. We're sitting on the second floor.
Yes, you did.
So I went to the bathroom just to save some details. And, you know, I didn't think it was anything special, but I flushed the toilet, and the toilet doesn't flush. And it's just going... You just hear it, and you see it slowly rising. And just not to paint like too grotesque of a picture, but it hadn't flushed. And the water just keeps, and it eventually, I like back up, and it overspills. And I'm like, and it starts, so I shut the door. I just shut the door.
Yeah, shuts the door to the small bathroom.
And it's okay, well, this is like the most embarrassing story of my life.
Oh, man. Okay. Everybody was,
so I think, I can't remember what happened. To a T, but
you poops on the ground.
It eventually, the water that was contaminated started flowing into our room, right? And it started flowing into our room, and it. Reagan Norman.
How many times did you flush that bad boy?
Reagan.
What? It didn't stop. It did not.
No,
stop.
I flushed it once, or maybe I flushed it twice, but it just wouldn't stop. And so I stayed in there. I think I got some. I went and got some help,
dude. Okay,
I
remember.
Went and got some help.
So the water's just flowing in. Like he's stepping through and it's sloshing everywhere. By this time, it has made it past front lines,
Reagan,
and it is hitting the first bags of students' clothes.
Reagan Norman's was the bottom bunk closest to the bathroom, and so his stuff was like first to be hit.
It was
his stuff was first out.
Okay,
and
I remember very distinctly Chandler writes he was not very thrilled that his got wet. But I remember by this time I found out. I wasn't staying in the room, but I found out, and I was like, I got to see this. You know, I got to see.
Yeah.
And someone throws George a plunger and said, get in there and take care of it. And George, he's standing in this water, kind of sloshing around. He has
like,
it in his hands.
Guys,
he looked at
I'm
them.
Like
he looked at the toilet. Looked at them. I don't know how to use this thing. And I was like, how do you not know how to use a plunger?
Okay, wait. Okay. So I figured it out, though. I eventually rectified my mistake.
It's not over, though. It's still not over.
It's not over yet. But so what happened, because the water's still flowing. But I think I took off the top of the back, and the cork had it unplugged or something. So I unplugged the cork, and it starts going down. So, like, there's no more outflow. But the flow that's already outflowed is still flowing.
And, just when you thought the war was over, you stopped the source of that water, and yes, there's some casualties of some clothes.
That's
no,
not all. That's
no,
not
it gets
though.
Worse.
That's not it, though. So
now, the boys, you know, you got to remember, the boys
the
stay
second,
on the top floor.
We're in the second floor.
There's two floors. Boys stay on the top floor, girls stay on the bottom
so with
floor,
every
right?
top floor is a bottom floor, right? All right, so you know at classic...
Science.
Classic Laguna Beach... Laguna Beach isn't the newest of resorts. Like, we love Laguna, right? It's dank. It's amazing. It's the best.
It's got character.
It's got character. And
she ain't pretty, but she got personality.
10 on a scale of personality, 10. And so the water, I don't know how this happened. Like, I don't know how.
It's really weird how that happened.
It's kind of strange. Anyway, so there's obviously with any room, there's light. But these are kind of like the old
like
light.
Industrial that almost.
Stick down a little bit, the industrial tubes. And the bottom floor below us, there's poop water starts leaking through their light fixtures onto their clothes and beds on the floor below us. And it's not like a small leak. Like, it's leaking around.
All the poop is flowing.
Wow.
All I remember is everybody's like, George flooded his room. George flooded his room. But George is standing there like, not no. Oh,
he's
that.
Standing in the poop water on his plunger. Like.
The best thing about this is that George, I feel like, lives most of his life trying to avoid being embarrassed. He doesn't, I can, very few things can we throw at George that are like super embarrassing.
You're so
but
right.
This is the one thing is, we got, and it's a heavy hit.
Oh, it's.
Okay, so, you know, we always have super serious moment. Okay, I have a question for you guys. I would love to hear y'all's topics on. And it's a very broad and it's a very general question. But I feel like I remember, so me and Kevin did a, like, you did it with them as well, a book you did with Chandler and Ethan, and we did it. I can't remember what the name of the book was.
The Walk.
Yeah. The Walk.
The Walk.
Yeah, that's what it was. So I remember we were doing that study, and we talked about a lot of things. I remember one of the things that we talked about, and I feel like it's very relevant today, is like grace and truth. And I think it's just been a common theme, at least throughout my high school and even into college, like, and seeing like God as Father and God as like King, you know, like, grace and truth. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question for you guys is, like, how do we walk in truth and love in the midst of a culture that tends to fall towards either side of the road? Because I feel like you can't just summarize Christianity to being grace and truth, but I feel like at least in the modern day church, it's been a big topic of, like, you have, you know, like, the very open and accepting movement.
Yeah.
But you also have, like, the legalists, like, the strict, like, Calvinists, like, you're going to hell. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like both sides of the extreme has just always pushed me back towards the middle, because I feel like that's where Scripture leads us. Anyways, what's y'all's thought? I mean, like, that's a very broad topic. But I don't know. I feel like it's kind of relevant. I don't know. Anyways.
No, that's a great question. I think it's something we have to wrestle with constantly on our journey as Christians. And me and Ellis were actually talking about this the other day, that most of Christianity is trying not to fall in the ditches on either side of the road on issues. Because
totally
there
agree.
Are. There are ditches on either side of the road that if you fall into them, you're in error. And so one of these things about, you know, grace and truth, or grace and law, however you want to look at it, is I think it, for us as Christians, it boils down to our motives. What is your motive in confronting someone? And I think your motive is going to change the way you approach them. Mm. So for many people, I mean, Ellis, you're fresh from Bible college. And when I was there on campus too, you see these guys who are just so, like, they're having a power trip with theological knowledge. Like, they've gotten some knowledge and they're just so puffed up and arrogant and prideful about it, and that they just want to sling it around. They want to argue with you about it. They want to prove that they're right and that you're wrong, and that's just such a wrong motive in handling truth.
That's definitely like one of the, you know, especially I think within the Reformed, maybe the New Reformed movement too. Like, I remember listening to John Piper. I watched a video a couple months ago, and he said, it's a few years old, but it was like a warning to like the young restless and reform movement. Like, don't like let theology become your god.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, but that's so true. I think you're so right. Like, what's the motive behind, you know, because like we love because he first loved us. And so that's right. How we're going to respond to people, to everyone.
Kevin summarized it great.
Yeah.
So I'll go with that. But I'll add a nuance of, like, I think that it's not just truth on one side.
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
Love on the other, but we need to also be in a place that we can disagree about some things, maybe that we hold strong opinions about. And I think about this of, like, for me, I've thought a lot about this with, like, racial reconciliation and, like, the steps to take. What steps should we take to reconcile with each other better? And there's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot, especially if you look on Twitter, social justice.
Oof.
There's people who hate social justice, and there's people who love social justice.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to disagree on some of these points and come together and work together and love each other well, also
so
while
true.
Holding different opinions on something that's a foundational truth that both sides would agree we should be reconciled to as one. But the ways to get it,
the means is different.
Yeah. So I think the means to I think if we strip down a lot of the what we're clothed in sometimes, and the bare bones of our hearts, our motives may be the same, and our differences may be how we obtain those end goals.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Absolutely.
And so I think if we could look past some of those issues, because there's not, and I mean, a lot of these things are not even hardcore biblical issues of like how to get somewhere. The Bible doesn't give us a roadmap of how to be racially reconciled, like specifically. So maybe it's just something we should learn from each other about and be more open about. And I think that would help us be more loving and help our truth if we're not, if we're too loving, help our truth to see and help us be more loving on the truth side. So.
And as an SLU guy, I'm sure you can appreciate like part of what they do in SLU 101. And I can remember sitting in the Shark Tank with Brent Crow, and he talks about how we have to recapture the understanding of in theology, in Christianity, there are primary issues and then there are secondary issues.
Yeah, that's a quote.
And the primary issues, we have to fight for those. Lovingly fight for those. And those are the solas, you know. Those are the by faith alone and Christ alone, by grace alone, it's the word alone. We have to fight for those things. But there are secondary issues that we can argue about but still be brothers and sisters in Christ. And so being able to say, I love you but I disagree with you, we have to recapture that. I think we've gotten away from it. Is if you disagree with me, then you hate me. If you disagree with me, that you think I don't have the value to live and to be who I am. Well, that's not true. We can disagree, and I can still love you and still think that you're wrong on this issue, especially when it comes to like secondary issues. And even earlier, you're talking about guys who are Calvinists. Listen, I come from a standpoint of a guy who's Reformed. I remember when I first got a hold of the doctrines of grace, and I became convinced of some of these things, all of the tulip stuff. I was like that. I went through a phase where I would argue with anybody about, you know, the doctrines of grace, about election and things like that. And it was a period of maturing for me where I began to see, you know what? No one is ever going to get saved through me screaming in their face about this thing, you know, and because that's not how it worked for me. God revealed these things to me. He opened my heart to them because, truthfully, earlier on in my walk, I argued against the doctrines of grace. I remember looking at my youth pastor in the face as he's telling me this stuff, and I said, that's not my God. And the truth was, I had a picture of what God was like, and that didn't fit into it, and so I argued against it. And then later on, when God convinced me of the doctrines of grace, of Reformed theology, I argued for it. And so I've come from both sides, but just realizing that our arguing and our fighting over these things, our trying to prove ourselves right and the other person wrong, it never really is fruitful. That's why it goes back to motivation. Is my goal just to give them Jesus and give them truth? Now, I believe that these doctrines flow from Scripture. And so I'm going to give them Scripture. And that's Pastor Brian always. Like this past Sunday, we had some very like Reformed topics that he preached on. And I told him that. He's like, hey, listen, it's just Scripture. You know, and that's the reality of it. We just want to give them Jesus and ask him to be the one that does the work. Because I can't argue them into heaven. I can't argue them into understanding theology the way I do. But I could just give them Jesus, truth in love. We can't sacrifice either of those. We have to give people truth, but we have to do it in love. And if we can't do both, then we need to keep our mouth shut.
Man, one of the things when y'all were both talking, I remembered, I want to say it's the, maybe it's, I don't know what the Presbyterian Convention is. I don't really know where this quote comes from. I feel like it's someone's motto, but it's like, in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things charity. And I feel like that kind of encapsulates what we're talking about a little bit. I feel myself wanting to like fall back and like more legalistic and feeling more like, oh, you know, that's wrong and I'm right. Because, you know, I'm pretty stubborn. And so it's easy for me to like not be graceful. And yeah, it's always, I guess the two extremes, just seeing them in culture and, you know, have always pushed me back towards, you know, pushed me to Scripture, but also just pushed me back towards the middle. You know what I mean? And so I think you're, especially what you said earlier about, it's like one of the first things you said, Kevin, you know, our danger as Christians is falling into one of the extremes, or falling into one of the pits of the extremes. And it's not like, you know, like you said, Ella, it's not just truth and love. Like, there's so much more to Christianity than that.
I want to ask Ethan, actually. I know whenever I see students go off to school, especially when they're super relational and they're people, you know, I fear that a lot of times when you get close to someone, you can begin, and you love them, you can begin to justify their sin. Mm-hmm. And have you found it hard, even in your social interactions, Ethan, to be a person who speaks truth while also loving them?
100%. I mean, like you said, I'm a very relational person. It's hard to just say, like, hey, you know, that's something I don't agree with. And that, you know, the whole thing is do it with love. But, I mean, even that for me can sometimes feel like a intrusion almost, to be like, hey, I think you're wrong. Just saying that, or just like, you know, I think Scripture will disagree with you there. But for me, that can be very difficult. And, I mean, it's a very hard thing to do, even with your Christian friends. I mean, the people that you should be able to talk with this about. I mean, it's very easy. I think the fear for me is a lot of times that it will quickly turn into a fight instead of just like hey, you know, I'm not here to, you know, sit here and reprimand you, but I'm here to like show you, guide you a bit. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a thing that I fear for. I mean, because you never want to come off as combative in something like that, but also can't be complacent and just let it ride. I mean, that's going to do more hurt than it is in the end. Mm-hmm. I think it's just coming to a realization that, you know, obviously this is more important than a, you know, possible disliking. I mean, the truth is, you know, more important than
combative or complacent.
Oh,
that's
man.
That was a truth bomb there, Ethan. Oh, yeah, I don't want to ever come off as, especially like as a know-it-all. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I struggle with that a ton, like being a know-it-all. Like, like I just said, you know, I'm stubborn.
Yeah.
But I don't ever, especially on like very serious issues, like I don't want to ever come across as like I know it all. Mm-hmm. But how do that? How do I do that in love? And how to do that with, like, without, like, you know, like just lovingly telling someone that you're wrong.
Well, I think the best way, or the strategy I've tried to implement in this, is do less telling and more asking. Mm. Like asking them, what do you believe about this topic?
Socrates.
And then, why do you believe that? What makes you think that way? Mm. And then almost like helping them discover what they think, why they think it. And then you can say, well, and maybe they'll ask you, or maybe you just get a chance to interject and say, well, this is the way I look at things, you know.
Definitely.
But to do it graciously, not just to come at them and say, you're wrong, I'm right, but you know, even leading in with questions.
Yeah. And even being wary that we might be wrong sometimes as well.
That's
you
true.
Know, like, yeah.
Well, here's one thing that really helped me in this area was in a class at Boys College that I took. One of the assignments was that we split the class into two different sides, and one side, but we had picked topics that we were going to debate. And so we would debate, like, not like light topics. We would debate like abortion and what is it when you want to, like, assisted suicide for like the elderly,
euthanasia.
Euthanasia. Mm. We debated those kind of things, and like immigration, which was, that was an easy one, but that wasn't as quite as black and white. But and we had to pick topics, and we had to be on either side. So we had like a few of the debates, like four of them.
Yeah.
And so we would evenly split. Of you'd have to debate for abortion, and debate for euthanasia, or debate for something that you disagreed with, and that helped me to see, and to see like these people aren't stupid. Like, you want to think of people who don't agree with you on such hot topics like that, that they're just dumb and they don't get it ever. you know, but oftentimes the real truth is that they're not dumb and that they are smart, and that while they can't see it from a biblical worldview like you see it, and while they're wrong, that they're not dumb because they're wrong. Mm. And that helped me more than anything to see, like, hey, and it helped you be more compassionate towards people who disagree with you, because you can see where they're coming from and you can address those things. So I would just recommend to, like, for something that you don't agree with, or like, and you can see something, study it. Know it. Where they're coming from, and then you can address where they're coming from in a much better way, in a much more biblical way.
I think definitely walking into any like discussion like that, this, you know, there's two sides. It should never be to just always just to pound in your truth, but also to understand the other side. Because that's how I try to approach discussions like that, is not to initially just always try to prove I'm right. Because if you're going to do that, they're just going to try to prove they're right, and you're going to get nowhere. But coming from a place of like understanding where they're from, and also letting them understand where you're from, is just, I think, for me, that's what changes people's minds. Not you know, getting on Twitter and forcibly saying what you believe or whatever. It's you know,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, across the table,
is not an opinion. It's a person with a soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you want to treat them like a person created in God's image, okay? So you have to have a holistic theology to not just treat them like someone you're trying to batter into believing the way you believe, but this is a human. And the truth is, I didn't always believe the way I believe. I'm in process. There was a time when I wasn't a Christian. And if Christ had never intervened in my story, then I probably would believe some of the same stuff anybody else would believe, okay?
Yeah.
But it's God working in me. And so to realize, listen, I haven't always been where I'm at. I'm in process even. Like 10 years down the road, I may believe some different stuff than I believe now because I'm in process. I want to be learned. I want to be teachable. Mm. But to realize that, the same thing about the person across from me, they're in process, and so I want to be gracious with them in the way God was with me. God didn't just bring the hammer on me because I believe some stupid stuff. He was gracious with me. It's a relationship, and so I got to be patient with others.
Guys, thank y'all so much for coming on the pod. It's been an awesome time with you guys. And so thankful for y'all and y'all's impact in our lives, just from brothers to brothers, and from student to youth pastor. I mean, like, you have – I mean, like, what we talk about comes from our – sitting under you and sitting under Pastor Brian. And I say Pastor Brian, Mr. Brian, you know. But but in Ellis, you know, that year, I think about that year that you were with us, and I think about how much I got plugged in during that year. So much of who I am now, you saw that, and like you were an influence in that year. So, anyways, thank y'all so much for coming to the pod. I mean, y'all are living legends, honestly.
Oh yeah, to be able to share the mic with you is an absolute privilege for sure.
Listen, thanks guys for having us here, for allowing us to just hop on, and not just as pastors, your pastors, but friends.
Absolutely.
It's been really cool.
Anyway, guys, thank y'all for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for all the stories and the good times to reminisce, and the truth and grace. Wow. So, with that being said, Ethan, take us out.
Well, guys, my name has been Ethan Shufflebarger,
Ellis Coffey,
Kevin Anglin,
George Wall,
and this has been In the Thick of It. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.